You are now listening to Breaking Right, brought to you by the Balance Sports Radio Network. Join host Tom Marholi for a breakdown of this week's college rankings. Call us one. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. Follow us on Twitter at BreakingRank1 or TBalance for breaking news, scores, stats, standings, and highlights. Now here's your host of tonight's Breaking Rank, El Presidente Tom Marquardt.
All right, and that's my cue. Hi, my name is Tom Marquardt, El Presidente. You know me, the host of The Balance every Saturday morning right here on the Balance Radio Network. We do this thing called Breaking Rank, where we talk college sports. That's all we talk about, whether it be college football or college basketball. Obviously, we're in the college basketball season, and we've got a great show on tap for you. 1 hour. We don't take any calls. We don't take any breaks. But 1 hour, what we do do is talk college basketball and your favorite team. So we certainly would love to talk with you. You can tweet us at BreakingRank1 or certainly email me, Tom@TheBalanceOnline.com. Tonight on the show, we have Walt Ferber of WITZ down in Jasper, certainly a broadcaster for the University of Evansville, Missouri Valley Conference, ESPN3, program director and sports director for WITZ and WQKZ Radio in Jasper, and certainly does a lot of high school sports as well around the region. He's going to talk a little IU basketball with us, a little Big Ten basketball, and of course, going to talk with us about the University of Evansville, Missouri Valley Conference, the Purple Aces. What a fantastic start they've got going. Are they going to be able to get to the dance? Are they going to be able to play in March? Well, that's a question that we're going to ask Walt and talk to. We had an opportunity to catch up with him last night. I taped an interview with him. And then also from Saturday morning show, myself and Jordan the intern interviewed Pat Donahue at Sports Down Pat, recruiting analyst and writer for Rivals.com, and the Turpin Sports Report joined us for a conversation about number 3 Maryland's men basketball and his perception of Melo Trimble. And we're certainly going to get into that conversation as that interview aired on Saturday's show. So tonight we've got two taped interviews for you. So we'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. We'll get right into the conversation with Walt Ferber right here on Breaking Rank. Tonight, it's Tuesday night. Where else would you be than right here on Breaking Rank?
Back to Breaking Rank. My name is Tom Marquardt, El Presidente. You know me, the host of The Balance every Saturday morning between 9 and 11 a.m. right here on the Balance Radio Network. And I tell you what, my next guest here, or our guest tonight on Breaking Rank, is a good friend of the show, The Balance, and has just been really caught up in a lot of stuff. We've not been able to get him on, and we'd love to have him on and talk some college sports. I know you got a new gig with ESPN3 in the Missouri Valley Conference at the University of Evansville. I do want to get to that, and I do want to talk with you about that. I want to talk a little bit about the Big Ten with you. Heading into really this week's slate of game, Indiana and Iowa still sitting at the top of the conference. Who would have thought that? Especially with the way that we saw Indiana University play out in Maui. And, you know, maybe by this point, Tom Crean secured his job. I'm not sure. But the Hoosiers have won 10 straight games, while Iowa has claimed 7 consecutive wins. In addition, Nebraska won 3 straight Big Ten games. And also, we got to look at Maryland. We got to also look at Purdue doing a fantastic job as well. So really, at this point, when we look at the Big Ten competition play as we go into this week, what are some of your thoughts?
Well, you kind of summed up a lot of it. IU, a very, I would say, friendly early schedule, and they have played well. Their defense has been tightening up, and they're doing pretty well without the James Blackman Jr., who's out for the rest of the year with the injury. Iowa, they've got to be an early season surprise, and I think in the long run they may be pretty difficult to deal with. Just from what I've seen, especially with the injury situation at Michigan State, Maryland looking like they may be possibly at the top of the conference. Suleiman, the transfer from Duke, playing extraordinarily well for Maryland. Michigan State back at full strength again, so they're looking solid. Purdue has had a little bit of a glitch there. I had Purdue maybe contending at the top of the league, but they've had a couple of stub toes as of late. But I see them coming on well too. I don't know if Indiana can stay at the top as they start playing the tougher teams, as they start with the Maryland's and the Michigan States, but it's something we'll just have to see how it plays out.
Well, absolutely. And Purdue out at Rutgers tonight, they're the only ones who are really, Monday night when we're taping this interview, by the way, the only ones really that are kind of in action and able to play. But we look at really two matchups, ranked nationally, if you will, really kind of bring the highlights of the Big Ten this week with 7-5 Maryland traveling to 11-10 on Michigan State on Saturday, and 9-9 Iowa hosting Purdue on Sunday. I think I got those schedules right as well. But we also look at some of the top 25 players. Iowa's Jared Utoff, Maryland's Trimble, and Michigan's Caris LeVette. Sorry. And Michigan State's Denzel Valentine. You know, we look at the Big Ten and what they've been able to do and the players that they're able to put together. Talk with us about some of those players and some of those matchups we just mentioned there.
Well, Michigan State, basically they're going to run as far as Denzel Valentine takes them. He's been out for a spell with injuries, and when he gets back up to full speed, Michigan State will be extraordinarily difficult, I think, to deal with. Who was the other players you were talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry. I said I got to go back to my notes there. I was talking about Ohio State. No, wait a minute. I mean, I apologize. You know how it is. No, I was talking. What I was talking about was the John R. Wooden Award midseason, and those top 25.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've got it now. Utah is a guy that I had not heard a whole lot about from Iowa, and I've been really exceptionally impressed by him. I tell you, the guy that I think is really been the guy that has impressed me more than anything else, and that's Suleiman. That's the guy that had a little bit of a trouble when he played for Mike Krzyzewski over at Duke. He's at Maryland now, and his three-point shooting expertise has, I think, made the Maryland Terrapins, I would say, in my estimation, especially with the earlier injury to Valentine at Michigan State, I'd say Maryland may be the favorite in the conference when we look at the conference overall. And Iowa would definitely have to be the surprise.
Well, certainly our guest later on this evening is a beat writer for Maryland. He's going to really talk with us about that game. And we recorded an interview with him on Saturday on the Balance. We're going to replay that. He was on his way to the Ohio State game. And you're right, Maryland is right there on top of the world right now. And certainly one would look at it and say that maybe that they have an opportunity to win the Big Ten. You mentioned IU when they come against Maryland, but right now, you know, Indiana is shooting 52% from the field, which ranks fourth in the nation, and Maryland is shooting 51.3%, which is currently fifth in the country. So when you look at statistics like that outside the box, perhaps so we got a better, clearer picture that IU is maybe starting to get their act together.
Well, you know, there was never any doubt that Indiana University was one of the most prolific teams offensively in the country, and that goes without saying. The defense has improved, but you've got a freshman at center for the Hoosiers and not a whole lot of depth as far as their post-position players. While I think IU is, you know, it's great where they have come to this point in time, they are undefeated in conference. You certainly can't take that away from them. But you look at the early season schedule, and their early season Big Ten schedule has been, it's been pretty easy. And I think we're going to find a lot more about where the Hoosiers actually are as they start playing some of their tougher games down the stretch. I think that Indiana's maybe been a little better than anticipated, but I honestly don't see them holding up against some of the better teams in conference. I don't think they match up particularly well with Purdue. The Purdue Twin Towers have been problematic for the Hoosiers for a while now. I don't think they match up necessarily well with Iowa, and I don't think they match up well with Maryland. I hope they prove me wrong, but while I think it's pretty good what they've done to this point in time, they still have some deficiencies that are going to come to fore defensively, and you know, it's good what they've done so far, but I don't see them being at the top of the Big Ten when the season's over.
Let me ask you, that brings us to another interesting question, a question that certainly we started asking at the beginning of the season and at the end of the season last year, and that's the future of Tom Crean. We saw Coach Wilson get an extension, but that's not necessarily a foregone conclusion, even if they finish strong in the Big Ten. I would say for Tom Crean to secure his job anyway, at least on the surface, he's going to have to, one, do a lot of politicking with the alumni, for one, and for two, the athletic director. But more importantly, he's going to have to get to the big dance and dance for a while in order to keep his job. And I just wonder how with the going down of Blackman Jr., how big of an effect this is going to have on the future of IU this season and getting into the dance, and the future of Coach Crean.
Well, I don't think the Blackman injury is going to have any effect one way or another. Blackman, one of the top scorers on the Hoosiers, and he is a great offensive player. But what I think the favorite quote I've had of this entire basketball season on ESPN has come from Dan Dockich, and he extolled the virtues of James Blackman Jr. as far as his offensive abilities. But his quote for James Blackman Jr. is he couldn't guard a chair, and I don't think Blackman's going to make that much of a difference one way or another. What happens with Crean remains to be seen. You know, when I look at Indiana this season and what I've seen, I can remember, you know, talking about the old fart that I am going back into the old days when there were 17,000-plus and a sellout at Assembly Hall every game. Now, I've looked and I've seen some of these crowds at Assembly Hall this year, and there was a whole lot of people there that were dressed as empty seats. I think the only thing that can be worse than dislike is apathy. And I think to a certain degree there has been some apathy that's taken place in Bloomington. And it's, you know, I don't know, honestly don't know whether Tom Crean will keep his job or not. It all depends. I have a theory that if you fire somebody, you got to make sure that that you can find somebody better to put in that position. And I don't know if Indiana is really considered to be a destination job anymore.
I don't think so. But maybe Brad Stewart is going to be looking for a job. I think that would be about the
I can tell you right uncategorically, I don't think there's any way in the world or enough Brinks trucks to roll up to Boston to have Brad Stevens. There's no reason for Brad Stevens to go to Bloomington. First of all, he's having success with the Boston Celtics right now. And there would be a lot of negatives for him taking a job at IU. I think that there would probably be several other destinations that if Brad Stevens decided to get back into college basketball that he would go into. And I could see him going back to Butler before I could see him coming into Bloomington. I think those people that have Brad Stevens coming to IU really have that as basically a pipe dream and have lost a certain amount of touch with reality, because Brad Stevens isn't coming to IU. It's not a back to, but he's not coming back to the state of Indiana. And if he does, it won't be with the Hoosiers.
Well, you know, and I think everybody likes to toss that dream name around about winning lottery ticket. You're right. I don't see any reason in the world that Brad Stevens would ever leave Boston. But I tell you what a class act he was. And I do want to get to the University of Evansville, obviously. We're talking with Walt Ferber, sportscaster for ESPN3 and University of Evansville. Purple Aces is having a great season. I do want to talk with you about that. And certainly sports director, program director at WITZ and WQKZ down there in Jasper, and does a lot of high school basketball as well. But I want to talk with you a little bit about the passing of Andrew Smith, certainly Butler big guy, and certainly was part of the Butler story and era and the Cinderella story, if you will, that elevated Brad Stevens to the position that he is. What can you tell us just from your knowledge and understanding of Smith and his contribution to the Butler Bulldogs, and most importantly, how tragic of a loss that was to collegiate sports and sports all around.
Well, anytime you're talking about the loss of anyone at that age, 25 years of age, that's something. I guess the way to look at it, there's a couple of things you can do. First of all, Brad Stevens, the coach of an NBA team, basically missed an NBA game to make sure that he was there to visit with Smith before his passing. And Stevens and the Butler people talk about the Butler way. I've got to be pretty good friends with Michael Lewis. He's the Jasper and Indiana University graduate who's now an assistant coach there at Butler. And the Butler way isn't just a saying. It's a way that that Butler operates. They take a special kind of player, a player that may not be recruited by a lot of the blue chip colleges. It's a player that has to have intelligence, has to have unselfishness, and truly plays the team way. And they play a very cerebral brand of basketball there, and it is team concept, and it is basketball truly at its finest. It's unselfishness. It's the team as a whole, and Andrew Smith basically epitomized that. And, you know, it is tough to see a young man go certainly at any time, but to see a special young man like that, it's certainly tragic. And I think that's the kind of player and the reason that Butler was able to be elevated when they were to a couple of straight national championship games. There's no way talent-wise that they should be able to recruit that way, but by recruiting a special kind of Butler player and doing it a little bit differently than anybody else, that's the kind of guy they had. And it is quite sad, and it is quite a terrible loss.
Well, absolutely. Andrew Smith, obviously we know, passed away. And, you know, a game that they had to go out there and play against St. John's and earned a 78-58 home victory over St. John's, which then fell to the 7-12. Certainly, it's always difficult when you've got to go out there and play in the midst of all of that. And what a great service they had this past weekend, memorial service they had for him. And all the media was there, and I believe there was some national media there as well. So he's certainly going to be missed. We're talking with Walt Ferber, and broadcaster of University of Evansville Purple Aces, with ESPN3. And I tell you what, first of all, congratulations on the new gig. You don't have a face for radio, by the way.
That's still to be debated.
Still to be debated. I totally understand. I tell you what, though, you could have picked a better season to be a part of the Evansville Purple Aces, certainly the Missouri Valley Conference, number two. They're undefeated at home. You know, they've really gotten a lot of national attention for the very, very close game they played against Wichita State. In fact, the very next day, it gained so much attention that Dan Patrick said, this is a team to watch. The Evansville Purple Aces are doing a fantastic job. Like I said, they're undefeated at home, and 5-1 in the conference, in second place just behind Wichita State. Talk with us about those Evansville Purple Aces.
Yeah, first of all, the last team to beat Wichita State at Wichita was Evansville back in 2013. They had a four-point victory then. But this is a team that Marty Simmons has put together. He played for Bob Knight at Indiana University his first 2 years, then transferred to Evansville where he played for former Hoosier Jim Cruz. He does it the old-fashioned way. They run the motion offense. They do a lot of cuts to the basket. And they have they are the top assist team in the country. That's one thing that you look at. They have a higher percentage of assists to basket than any other team in the country. They also have the top rebounder in the country. His name is, and that's one of the things you have to know when you do the ball games, is Egidijus Miscavičius. He's a senior from Lithuania, and he has worked his tail off, and he is the top rebounder in the country. 14.6 rebounds per game. They have him, and they have the country's active leading scorer in DJ Ballantyne. Got a chance to call his game when he hit his 2,000-point plateau. He's, I think, at 2,046 points now for the Purple Aces. And if he leads the Valley in scoring this year, it will be the fourth consecutive year that he has done that. And the only other two people that have ever done that in Missouri Valley Conference history are a couple of pretty good ball players. Their names are Oscar Robertson and Larry Bird. So when you have Ballantyne, you have Agidius Miscavige's as your cornerstone. Miscavige's also has, if I'm correct in this, they're 15-3 right now, and I believe he has double-doubles in 14 of those ball games. So he's been extraordinarily consistent. Then you've got good role players. Kalen Brown, who's a guard, also scoring in double figures, a great assist guy. And then you got the silent guys in the starting lineup. Adam Wing, who senior, does all the little things. He's a great screener, great rebounder. And if you fluff off on the other guys, Wing is able to hit a 15, 16-footer very well. The fifth starter is Blake Simmons. And, yes, that is the son of the coach, Marty Simmons. And Simmons is a great defender and also a great three-point shooter. You have all five, really basically four of the five guys that are able to dribble, and you've got basically four guards on the court. And Miscavige's runs the court very well. So it's a very versatile team. You've got Miloslav Bajoya, who comes off the bench. He has done an outstanding job and a very international flavor to this to this Evansville team. Is Bajoya is from Croatia. Christian Benzin is from Denmark. Sergei Vucetic, a transfer from Nebraska, is also from overseas. He is from Serbia also. So there's a lot to like about these guys. They're very, very unselfish. They bust their tails. The team is more than the sum of the parts. So I think the folks in Evansville are looking for good things this year. This is a team that won the CollegeInsider.com championship last year. And anything less than making the NCAA tournament, they're not going to be happy. And this is an Evansville team that's not made the tournament since 1999.
It's going to be incredible, and I tell you what, I have a love for the Evansville Aces. I didn't bring you on here just because of the Evansville Aces. I did want to talk college basketball with you, but the Evansville Aces having a great season is just a bonus to that. And I'm from Evansville. I live in Indianapolis now. I went to IU, but I've always followed the Evansville Purple Aces, and I'm a huge, huge fan of them. And you talked about the father-son combo, Marty Simmons. We look at the same thing out at UCLA, Bryce Alford and Steve Alford. Both of those coaches came out, were at least at some point under Bobby Knight. Both of their sons are doing fantastic on their teams respectively. So say what you want about Bobby Knight. He knows how to develop players. He knows how to develop leaders. And certainly, you know, you look at Bryce Alford, that kid can just plain out ball.
Yeah, well, yes, he can. There's no doubt about that. And you look at him, and his shot reminds me a lot of his father's when he played at Indiana.
Absolutely.
And he has certainly made that UCLA team a very competitive team this year.
Well, we're going to be interested to see. Certainly, we're taping this interview on Monday night because I know you've got a lot of obligations going on. You're a man of high demand now, so I appreciate you taking some time to join us here on Breaking Rank, our college sports show that we do, that the Balance produces, obviously, the Balance on every Saturday morning. And every Tuesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. is Breaking Rank. So right after this show, the Evansville Aces take on the Loyola Chicago Ramblers, which is 8-10. Now, I'm seeing conflicting things here. Maybe you could clear this up for me. I'm seeing one thing here that says they're third in the Missouri Valley Conference, but when I look at the website of the Missouri Valley Conference, they've got Evansville as number two. So can you correct that for me?
Well, and I don't have the thing in the schedule in front of me, but they would second place right now as Wichita State is undefeated. Evansville 5-1 with a loss. Indiana State, with their second loss yesterday, would move into third spot. So the Aces would be second right now.
So preview that game for us real quickly before we let you go here on Breaking Rink.
Loyola of Chicago, they're a team that's getting better. They've had a hard time winning outside of Chicago. I'm going to have the opportunity to do that game on the radio network when they travel to Chicago. I think, honestly, Evansville's got a few too many horses. I don't see them being able to deal in the blocks with mm-hmm. Miscavige's. I see it being close early, but probably a 15-17-point win for the Aces by the time it's done.
By the time it's all said and done, we've been talking with Walt Ferber, obviously broadcaster for ESPN3 for the University of Evansville Purple Aces. I tell you what, Walter, it's always great to have you on, and I look forward to talking with you again throughout the season, and certainly I hope that you'll be able to call a few March Madness games with the Evansville Aces as well. Any final thoughts? Where can people find your work, your masterpieces, and see that Walt Ferber face on television?
Well, you're welcome to follow me, to friend me on Facebook at Walt Ferber on Facebook, and my Twitter is at Walt Ferber, and it is always a pleasure.
All right.
Well, you just kind of got to throw them a little soft bone, and they go with it. And Kent is an excellent interview always, and has been a staple on the show for a long time. And I do think we do have our guest now. Hi, is this Pat? Hi, is this Pat?
Hey, is this Jordan? Yeah, what's up, man?
This is Tom. You're live on the air on The Balance here. We appreciate you joining us. Hi, my name is Tom Marquis. I'm the host of The Balance. And I know that Jordan, the intern and our co-host also contacted you about coming on and talking with us a little college basketball for us. And we're also going to replay this on our college basketball show on Tuesday evening called Breaking Rank. Jordan, let's get the college basketball conversation started here on The Balance.
Yeah, so we're joined by Pat Donahue of Rivals.com. He's recruiting analyst and writer for Terrapin Sports. He also covers the Washington Redskins insider for PressBox DC. Thanks for coming on the show today, Pat. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so the first thing I want to get into, obviously, I go to Indiana University and cover a lot of men's Big Ten basketball. And so my first question to you now is, this Maryland team has been ranked in the top five now this whole entire season, and they have played some excellent basketball so far. And the one guy I want to really touch on is Melo Trimble. Can you give us an overview of what Melo Trimble has meant to Maryland so far and where you see this team going, moving into February and even to March when tournament time comes around?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think their last game against Michigan really showed how important he is to the team. That was really the first game this season in which he struggled, got in foul trouble a little bit early, so they weren't able to play him as much in the first half as they normally would. And his shot just wasn't falling. They had a long athletic guard on him, and that seemed to work pretty well. I wouldn't say that's necessarily his kryptonite, but I would say that, you know, the team is only going to go as far, and then the players and coaches themselves will tell you that they're only going to go as far as Melo, and just really the backcourt in general with Rashid Suleiman as his counterpart there is going to take them. So he's extremely important to the team. Obviously, he's the Big Ten preseason player of the year, so that kind of speaks to how important he is too. He's just the guy. He touches the ball more than anyone. He's become a great facilitator this season. A lot like on our message boards, fans are starting to debate, you know, whether or not he's the greatest Maryland point guard of all time, which is with some lofty company with John Lucas and Steve Blake and people of that nature. So I think his career is still a little bit young to anoint him as that, but he's definitely off to probably the hottest start of any point guard in Maryland history. And he's just a gamer. That's how I would describe him. He's clutch. He's never afraid to take the big shot, as he proved against Wisconsin. And he's so good at drawing fouls. Now, he hasn't been getting as many foul calls in league play this year as he did last year, and I don't know what the reason is for that necessarily, but he is really good at getting to the line. He's about a 90% free throw shooter from there. So, really, he's got all the intangibles and skill and court vision that you'd want in your point guard.
Well, we're talking with Pat Donahue, a writer for Rivals Magazine, and certainly covers the Maryland Terrapins. I'm sorry, I can't even say that this morning. It's Saturday morning. And certainly the Washington Redskins as well. My name is Tom Marquis, host of The Balance. And certainly a big game for you guys today, number three against Maryland against Ohio State. Ohio State Buckeyes obviously struggled a little bit against Indiana University. Indiana University is starting to get some traction. As you look at the Big Ten as a whole, obviously Maryland being part of that in Ohio State, and you look at the Big Ten competition this year, what are your thoughts going into the 2016 Big Ten season?
You know, my thoughts are starting to change a little bit because I feel like the Big Ten in general across all sports, football, basketball, non-revenue sports, you know, it's definitely, if not the strongest, one of the strongest athletic conferences year in and year out. And when I say that, especially for basketball, I look at top to bottom. I look at, you know, how would the teams at the bottom of the Big Ten compare to some of the teams at the bottom of other conferences. And generally, most years, I think the Big Ten would win that. They're kind of at least more consistent, and the league tends to beat up on each other because there is so much good competition and good coaching. This season, I've been a little disappointed from what I've seen from the Big Ten as a whole. So far, there's some teams that I thought were going to be a little bit better that aren't necessarily showing me what I expected. Indiana being one of them, but like you said, they're starting to get traction. Ohio State started off very, very slow. I didn't necessarily think they were going to have an amazing year, but they're starting to get, I think they won 8 of their last 9 games, so they're starting to get things together. And, you know, I really expected, I thought Northwestern, not necessarily, I thought they'd be maybe a bubble team. I like some of the things they're building right there. And Michigan, you know, they're actually a team that's exceeding expectations for me. I didn't see them being this good, at least, and they're winning games without Caris LeVert right now. So I still think there's a lot of time, and I think by tournament time, by the time we get to the Big Ten tournament, this is still going to be one of the best conferences in college basketball. And obviously, you know, you got Michigan State up there as well. As long as Denzel Valentine stays healthy, they'll be a force to be reckoned with too. So I think it's pretty heavy at the top with teams like Maryland and Michigan State. Maybe Michigan or Ohio State or Indiana can find their way in there. But I would like to see more out of some of the teams that are crawling at the bottom trying to rebuild their programs, because I saw some of them take steps forward last year and seemingly not necessarily take steps back this year, but just kind of not continue to take steps forward, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with you about the Big Ten, too. I'm very surprised at some teams, first and foremost, Iowa, playing out of their mind in the Big Ten Conference right now and giving Maryland their run for their money. And you know what? Maryland has played so well, and they're so versatile, too. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Not just, I know Mello Tremble is obviously the big talk for Maryland, but how about other guys like Diamond Stone? He's putting up 13.6 points per game. Jake Lehman, who's helped out tremendously, and even transfer from Duke, Rashid Suleiman, has given them some production that they need. So what's an X factor that Maryland needs to kind of lean on besides Mello Tremble in order to stay in that top five and get possibly a number one seed in March Madness?
Yeah, no, and before I get to that, you brought up Iowa. That's another school that I just left out there. They're perhaps the hottest team in the conference right now, and a team that has certainly surpassed my expectations, and a team that I'm looking forward to see Maryland playing at the end of the year, or in the middle of the year, I should say. But for Maryland, that's been the story of their team all year, is the balanced attack, a balanced backcourt, a balanced frontcourt. They got plenty of guys on the wings. They got size. They got 5 players averaging double figures right now, which I can't even remember the last time I saw a college team do that. And that was something that people thought could happen going into the season with all the talent, but I don't think there were many people that actually, you know, because all it would take is one of those guys to have an off year or kind of go on a cold stretch to ruin it. But really, all 5, I want to say starters, but Diamond Stone isn't technically a starter. He's the first guy off the bench, but he plays starters minutes. So I guess you could sort of consider him a starter. But basically, the 5 guys that are getting the most minutes on the team, are all averaging double figures, and any one of them can take over a game at any time because the guards and the wings can really shoot it and really drive. They're athletic. They're good tacklers. They're good defenders. And then the front court is just as big and as physically imposing and as skilled as there is in the country. So Diamond Stone is the one that I would say probably next to Tremble is the most likely to take over a game like he did against Penn State, scoring 39 points. He had a lot of hype coming into college, obviously, but I believe he's living up to that, and maybe even more so. His skill set for his young age and his size is really incredible. It impresses me every time I see him. And then I've always said, or at least this year, I said that Rashid Suleiman might be the most complete player on the entire team, just as far as shooting, driving, passing, defense. He really doesn't have a weak spot in his game. And I don't know. He's a little bit too unselfish for me to be a guy that is going to necessarily take over a game, but he's such a hot shooter sometimes that he could hit 5 or 6 threes if he gets hot, and next thing you know, he's scoring 25, 30 points or something like that. I wouldn't put that past him.
We're talking with Phil Donahue, obviously writer for Rivals Magazine and others, to talk about the Big Ten Basketball Conference and covers the Maryland Terrapins. Man, what a hard name to say this morning, I tell you. But I know you also cover the Washington Redskins, and you got to be happy with a 9-8 season, even though you didn't get the results in the playoffs that you wanted. You got to be happy with some postseason. So it's good to be talking about the Redskins other than the name of their team. Skins or the Redskins, I personally think we call them the Redskins. That's what they are. So you got to be happy with that. You got to be happy with Kirk Cousins. RG3 didn't work out there at Washington. Certainly, I'm sure that his release is soon to happen. So I'm sure that somebody will give RG3 another shot. I don't know that he's got much longer left in the NFL. So when you look at the Washington Redskins, obviously, your season ended this past week against the Packers, and hopefully Arizona can take care of business against the Packers, which I definitely can. But you look at the postseason and you look at the season overall with the Washington Redskins. Can you sum it up for us? Is everybody in D.C. happy with the Redskins?
Yeah, I think so. And honestly, ever since I've lived down here and covered the team, I've been saying that it's really the most optimistic fan base I've ever been around. They, even when the team was winning 4 games and stuff, you would have thought that they're bouncing back the next year to win the Super Bowl. And there's a bit of an endearing factor to that, but I'm more of a realist myself, and I didn't think that I didn't expect them to have as good of a season this year as they did. I did believe that there would be improvement. I liked a lot of the off-season moves that they made, but I thought they'd go from maybe 4 wins to 6 or 7 wins, and that would be good. But it shows just all the difference having a solid quarterback in place can make. And really, I think I was never a big RG3 fan or believer in his game. I kind of thought his rookie year was a bit of smoke and mirrors as far as the system he was playing in, the simplicity of it, and his athleticism kind of catching people by surprise. Obviously, the injury didn't do him any favors. But I do think for what Jay Gruden likes to run, the offense he likes to run, that Kirk Cousins is a much better fit. I think Gruden felt that way, too, as soon as he took the job in Washington. So I think it is, for lack of a better term, a match made in heaven. They finally got on the same page. Gruden got his quarterback and Cousins got his chance. And they had plenty of other skill players and playmakers around him. And then on defense, they made a lot of nice off-season moves that were able to, kind of combat some of their injuries they had throughout the year. So I honestly think it started with the hiring of general manager Scott McGlinchey in the offseason, who's been a winner everywhere he's gone. He's built a contender in San Francisco and Seattle, and he's starting to do that seemingly in Washington because it started with him. And I think as soon as they gave their full confidence to Cousins, it kind of just, they rolled that momentum into a 9-win season and a playoff berth. And they didn't really beat any good teams this year, so the playoffs were a struggle for them. But I think that next year they could be right back there and be ready to actually win some playoff games.
Yeah, we're talking with Pat Donahue of Rivals, recruiting analyst and writer for Terrapin Sports, also Washington Redskins insider for PressBox DC. Pat, I know you're headed over to the Ohio State-Maryland game today, so we're going to let you go. But before we do, can you tell us where to find your work, where we can find your masterpieces, where we can hear you, and where we can read from you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like you guys are saying, I write for the Maryland Rivals Network, which is TerrapinSportsReport.com. A lot of my work can be found on there. PressBoxDC.com if you want to read the Redskins stuff. And then I post virtually everything I write on Twitter. So my Twitter is @SportsDownPat. And you can follow me, not only stories but breaking news and everything like that on there.
Well, Phil, we appreciate you joining us. And you have a safe trip and enjoy the game today against Ohio State.
All right, you guys take care.
Thank you. Phil Donahue joining us. A great conversation that we had with him about the Maryland Terrapin. Why am I having such a hard time with that, Jordan? It just doesn't roll off the tongue. we got just a few minutes left here on the show. Fantastic. Did I say the name wrong?
It's Pat Donahue.
What did I say? Phil Donahue. I did it. I knew I was going to do that. My God. Jordan. What are you going to do with me, man? I don't know.
And that's what I'm here for.
We do appreciate you being our new co-host and certainly stepping in. All right, welcome back to Breaking Rink. Hi, my name is Saul Marcos, El Presidente. Hope you're following us on @BreakingRink1 and certainly @TBallets. You know, it's college basketball. We're getting you ready for March Madness. My name is Saul Marcos, El Presidente. And what we do every Tuesday night is right here on the Balance Radio Network, we talk college sports. We want to thank our guests that we've had on tonight, Walt Ferber of ESPN3 and broadcast the University of Evansville, Purple Aces, and also Pat Donahue of Rivals.com. Certainly give both of them a follow on Twitter and Facebook. You know, we talked about Testude of Maryland and certainly, you know, one of the things I always like to look at are these polls, the college polls, the AP polls. Let's take a look at the AP polls that are out as of today, Monday, when we tape this show. Typically, we do this show live, but tonight's a little bit different, but that's okay. Number one, Oklahoma. Number two, North Carolina. Number three, Kansas. Number four, Villanova. Number six, Xavier. Number six, West Virginia. Number seven, Maryland. Number eight, SMU. 17-0, that SMU squad. Iowa Hawkeyes at number nine in the top ten. Rounds out with Texas A&M. And then also number 11 is Michigan State, another Big Ten team. It's really going to be interesting to see how these teams come together through March. As we listened to Walt talk about earlier in the interview, a portion of the show was that, you know, we'll see how IU can do. We'll see how Indiana University could do when they have to play teams like Maryland. Right now they've got the easy back end of the schedule, which is good. I mean, you know, it enables them to pick up some wins and hopefully enough wins that they could get into the March Madness, the NCAA conference. You know, one of the exciting teams to watch is this Oklahoma team. And, you know, I just really, really enjoy watching them play. They're very, very good, very good team-oriented. Of course, North Carolina, Kansas. But, you know, Butler, right here in Indianapolis, right here in our backyard, as a matter of fact, number 18, 13-4. Of course, Iowa State, number 19, number 20, Duke, 21, USC, 22, Purdue University falling down there in the Big Ten as well. And, you know, Kentucky continues to fall. What happened to Kentucky? Does anybody know? Does anybody have an answer of what happened to the Kentucky Wildcats in 2016? That's okay. And then we look at Indiana University as well down there in number 25. At least they've made the ranks, right? At least Indiana University has made the ranks. We look at the coaches poll. Some differences always between the coaches poll and the AP poll. The coaches poll number one has Oklahoma. Number two, North Carolina. Number one, Kansas. Number one, Oklahoma. Number two, North Carolina. Number three, Kansas. Number four, Villanova. Number five, Maryland. So kind of a big difference there between Maryland and in the coaches poll and the AP poll. Xavier, West Virginia, Texas A&M, Iowa, Michigan State round out the top 10. You got Arizona in number 11. Duke, number 12. Got Kentucky all the way down to number 19. Indiana in the coaches poll is number 23. However, one of the big drops I look at here is the Butler Bulldogs. And they fell in the coaches poll all the way down to number 24. But certainly a fantastic season. And when, you know, we talk about the University of Evansville in the Missouri Valley Conference and what they've been able to do. Obviously, Wichita State is number one in that division. But if we remember how Evansville played Wichita State just not too long ago, last week, week before last, and really was a close win for the University of Evansville. And I'm excited to watch it. Like I mentioned in the show, I'm from Evansville. I live here in Indianapolis, and I know we're a national show. And you know, but you know, you got to root for the home teams. And you know, it was great to have Pat Donahue. And but make sure you follow him at Sports Down Pat, and certainly Jordan the intern in the interview that we did. And that was also simulcast over on Indiana Talks on Saturday. So you know, it great conversations that we have with him. And I would point out that every Saturday, that's nothing unique for us here at the Balance and the Balance Radio Network. We always have the top guests, we have the best guests. And you know, so it's if I don't know what you're doing on Saturday morning, sleeping in. Who needs sleep, right? You can sleep when you're dead. Isn't that what they say? You can sleep when you're dead. But yeah, give us a listen right here on Blog Talk Radio. We are not going to be simulcast. I know that was the plan, that we would be simulcasting the Balance on Indiana Talks. We are not going to be doing that. But that's okay. We're still going to be here on Blog Talk Radio and the Balance Radio Network. So certainly nothing's changed for you if you've always listened to us here on Blog Talk Radio. But certainly, you know, that's okay. It just didn't work out. So we move on with the show. As they say, the show goes on. My name is Marcos El Presidente. So, you know, certainly we want to hear your thoughts on college basketball, obviously. And normally we do this show live, but we taped it tonight just because we had two back-to-back taped interviews. So what was the point of going on live for, you know, 10 or 15 minutes? And so we decided to go ahead and do the show, and tape the show on Monday night, obviously Martin Luther King night here, and a very, very cold night in Indianapolis. Very cold. It was like, I think it's 17 below this morning. So it is wintertime, and we kind of got spoiled with the wintertime here in Indiana. But certainly it is the wintertime. And so what a better thing to do than to tape the tape Breaking Ring. You know, one of the interesting things, both Kentucky and Duke dropped out of the CBS top 25. Again, we look at a lot of different polls. What polls do you want to look at? What polls do you want to pay attention to? Do you want to pay attention to the AP poll, the coaches poll? You know, and then, you know, certainly a lot of your major networks, ESPN, CBS, and so forth, have their own polls as well. But Notre Dame and Wichita State are both in now. So in the top 25, and Kentucky and Duke are both out of the CBS top 25. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, Wichita State is 11-5, but three of those losses came while Fred Van Fleet was sidelined, and another came why he hobbled the Shockers. I think that's their mascot. And they've won 10 since Van Fleet returned, and they're 10-2 with him. And here's the other thing. We talk about Butler. Butler's won, yes, but are they the team that we know them to be? And certainly, they're a very good team, and we like to watch them. I'm always curious to see, though, and by the way, with this, since we're talking about the CBS poll, we'll go ahead and mention that Oklahoma was number one, Kansas number two, North Carolina was number three, Villanova number four, Xavier number five, West Virginia number six, seven Iowa, eight Michigan State, nine Maryland. So there you go, big drop there in Maryland compared to the AP poll and the coaches poll. And, you know, SMU, 16-0 and number 11, Texas A&M, Baylor, 14-3, Providence, 15-3, Miami, 13-3, and Butler, there we go, they're in the 16, number 16 slot, Purdue number in the number 18 slot, and Indiana and Notre Dame, both Indiana schools, pop up in the CBS, top, 25, but, to sum that up, in our Notre Dame and Wichita State. So the Irish are back in the national rankings with basketball, and Wichita State as well, and out Kentucky and Duke. And that just is a huge, huge shocker, I think, to a lot of people, especially who follow these national polls, is a huge drop in, well, just what is going on with Kentucky. I mean, maybe that should be the question of the evening. What is going on with the Kentucky Wildcats? You know, maybe you have an answer. Certainly, we'd want to hear it. Tweet us out at Breaking Rank One. We'd certainly want to hear your conversations about Kentucky and Duke. Are they? Certainly, you would believe that they're going to be in the dance. But is there something? Should we be reading into the tea leaves here with Kentucky and Duke? Should we be anticipating something different in March as far as our big team finals? But there again, there's still so much time to go before the seedings are out and all that stuff. You're listening to Breaking Rank. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, and this is college basketball season. And that's why we call this Breaking Rank. We talk about really the rankings. We talk about the top stories in basketball. I want to appreciate Walt Ferber for joining us and certainly from WITZ down in Jasper and ESPN3 does the Evansville Purple Aces. Pat Donahue of Rivals.com, an interview that we had with him on Saturday, and myself and Jordan the intern did on The Balance that aired on Indiana Talks. Wanted to replay that for you just because it was a great conversation and felt like it was relevant to what we were talking about. So it's college basketball season every Tuesday night right here on Breaking Rank, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can listen to us talk about college basketball, and certainly I'll have guests from time to time. And you know, right now it's me. I'm the host. I'm it. You know, when that one radio guy, Rick Riggin, has some family obligations, and Jordan the intern is finishing up college, so I'm it. But that's okay. You know, we'll get through this together. And certainly next week we'll be live right here on Blog Talk Radio. And you know, who knows? From time to time, we'll have Rick or Jordan on from time to time. But at the moment, you know, it's just moi. I know you're saying, don't ever say that word again. Don't ever use that word again. But I mean, if you were to look at some of the polls and the rankings, you know. Well, certainly, we'd love to hear your thoughts. You know, give us a follow at Breaking Rank One, and certainly at C Balance, and let us know what say you. You know, we'll certainly, if we can, we'll talk about it on Breaking Rank here. You know, somebody talking about the Associated Press, and I think that's kind of where a lot of people lean at when they look at these rankings. They've got Louisville at number 17 and Butler at 18, Iowa State at 19, number 20 Duke, number 21 USC, number 22 Purdue, Kentucky, number 23 South Carolina, and then Indiana number 5. And what dropped out of their polls was Pittsburgh, which was in the number 20 slot, and Gonzaga, which is in the number 25 slot, which obviously Indiana took that spot in the number 20 spot. Duke is in that. So as you can see in the CBS poll, Duke kind of fell out. So others receiving votes were Pittsburgh with 184 votes, Clemson with 53, Wichita State 38. Now, again, as we just looked at the CBS poll, they've got Wichita State in, Valparaiso 30, Notre Dame, again, in the CBS poll, but not in the AP poll, with 14, Dayton at 9, St. Mary's 8, Gonzaga 5, Utah 3, Hawaii 3, Arkansas Little Rock 1, Monmouth 1, Navy 1, and Oregon 1. votes, that is, and as far as that goes. So certainly we'll see how it pans out and how things come together right here on the on Breaking Rank. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Remember to drive it in cool. We'll see you on Saturday morning right here on the Balance Radio Network, 9 a.m. sharp. Be here. If you're a minion, be there because it's required. And to be a minion, all you've got to do is go to @TBalance or find us on Facebook, The Balance, and click follow or like or @BreakingRank. And boom, booyah, like magic, you got your magic beans and you become a minion. So certainly very, very excited to and certainly follow us on social media and to keep up to date of everything that's going on. I'm out of here. I'll see you Saturday morning, 9 a.m. sharp, right here on the Balance Radio Network. I'm out of here. Deuces. Whee!